Fourth and final hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase. We've already told in the last 2 days, unfortunately, learning of the news during the Titans-Chiefs game in the AFC Championship game and how our mood really changed late in the first half when news got out here in our area, here in Nashville, that we had lost a friend in David Clymer. And Willie and I had the privilege to work with him. He did radio hits with us every week for an hour, weekly for I don't even know how many years, Willie. How many years did David do an hour weekly with us?
I would say, and the years start running together, but he did make the change over to here as we came to the game. So that takes us up through 2012 in the neighborhood at least. And so I'd say about 10 years.
Close to a decade.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, at least, because I remember listening.
Yeah. And a guy who also knew David quite well is on the line with us, Jeff Perlman, who is, I don't know if a lot of people realize his career really started here in Nashville. He's a best-selling author. You know Jeff Perlman's work. And Jeff, I've told the story on the show. Thanks for joining us. That thanks to the Packers and 49ers, just absolutely, I was bored, and that game was dull to me. I gave up, and luckily I found your podcast with David Clymer about, 2.5, 3 weeks ago. And so I sat there, and I just had 49ers and Packers on mute, and I listened to your podcast.
Oh, man. I appreciate it. That was, I had wanted to have, I do a podcast every week with two writers, and I always wanted to have, always had in my head to have David on. And then found out what he was going through and just sort of thought I should do it sooner than later. I'm really glad I did that one, I got to say.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Two Writers Slinging Yang, that is the name of the podcast. And, you know, it's typical David. You start off by paying him a compliment. Willie and I know this from working with the and I've had to admit, too, that it's been really tough for me to admit on the airwaves because I consider David a friend. And yet, you know, you also know David is reserved. You know, he doesn't exactly, he didn't get in this to get his name out there and to get attention. That's not how he rolls. And I didn't even know, I mean, I knew that obviously I'd talked to him since he retired from the Tennessean and him and Rebecca had moved to South Carolina. I didn't even know that he was dealing with pancreatic cancer. And it's been really painful and awkward for me to call him a friend and yet get on here and admit I didn't even know that. So that's another thing that ruined my day on Sunday.
Well, it's interesting. It's almost like I when you guys called and asked if I'd come on. I mean, I don't consider myself a. When I started the Tennessean in 1994, I think I'm 19 years younger than David Clymer. And when I got to the sports department, it wasn't like we were buddy-buddy because I was really intimidated by him. Not that he was intimidating, but he was really sort of what you wanted to be as a sports writer. And I was just this young punk who was very cocky and full of himself. And here's this guy, and he's regal, and he carries himself with dignity, and he isn't talking trash, and he isn't about hot takes, and he isn't about look at me, and he doesn't need his name on a billboard. Like, he was really, really good at what he did, and he didn't need the attention, and he didn't want the attention. And talking to him for that hour just a couple of weeks ago, I learned more about him from that conversation, truly, that I had known in 25 years of being in this business.
Yeah, that's well said. In fact, it was interesting you talking about the early years at the Tennessean. It was interesting what you said. You're trying to pay him a compliment. You could tell David was a little uncomfortable even talking about that because you're trying to say really nice things about him, and he's having a hard time putting the words together of how to handle a really nice compliment by you.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting. So when I asked him to be on, I said, "Do you want me to bring up cancer? Or, you know, is this something you want to discuss?" And he said, "Well, let's just play it by ear." And then I did my little intro and I talked about how I used to be intimidated by him. And he goes, "Jeff, let me ask you a question. How long have you been doing this podcast?" And I was like, "Oh, 2.5 years." He said, 2.5 years, and it takes a guy to get cancer to be on your podcast? I mean, he knew. I thought that was really, as soon as he said it.
I laughed out loud.
Yeah, because it was him really sort of diffusing what was an uncomfortable topic that I didn't know what to do with. I just thought that was, I was really, I know it sounds dumb. I said that to my wife the other day. I was really impressed how he took that thing and made it really sort of easy to discuss.
Well, I will say this. I want to pay you a compliment because, as I said at the beginning, Willie and I logged a lot of years with David on and off the radio. And, you know, we lived some of the stuff that you guys discussed. But the fact that we lived through kind of the Pat Summitt story and we went through some of the journeys that you guys talked about, but yet I was still really intrigued to hear the conversation says a lot about what you were doing in the podcast.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, the thing that you guys know about this one much better than I do, but the thing that blew my mind about him was actually the Pat Summitt column. And it's interesting because nowadays there's so many sort of social media cowboys and everyone puts out their hot takes. And a lot of times it's anonymous, it's on Twitter. And anyone could have said at the time on Twitter, Pat Summitt is embarrassing the program or Pat Summitt needs to resign or blah, 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 whatever take you have. And it's so easy nowadays because, number one, all these takes come and go in 2 seconds and they're very disposable. And number two, 90% of people do it anonymously. So they think they're tough, but they're hiding. And I was just really, I reread that column he wrote, sort of calling for her to step aside and that she was doing damage to the program. And I was thinking about if you consider the time when he was the most read columnist in the state, when he wrote for the biggest newspaper in the state at a time when newspapers were still big, he puts his name on it. He's calling for the most beloved figure in the state to step aside while she's going through something awful. I mean, you know, I hate making people in our profession sound braver than they are because it's not war, but the sort of guts to do that and to do it so well and to do it so eloquently, it's something I've never had the ability to do. I mean, it's just freaking remarkable. It truly is.
Jeff Perlman is with us. Sports writer, best-selling author, and got his start at the Tennessean with David Clymer on the staff. We're kind of remembering David here this afternoon on 102.5 The Game. And so, Jeff, it just, as you talk about that, I think it's so well said that, you know, the whole hot take thing that we're in, it just kind of symbolizes the evolution of the sports writer. And we can go back, Darren and I can, far enough to where the rise of sports talk intersecting with the columnist made for some great radio. This was before Twitter. This is before social media. But the role of the good sports writer has evolved a lot. And so it's a little symbolic of the changing in the evolution of the profession.
Yeah, he was a terrible fit for 2019, 2020. This is now the era, and I'm not judging you guys how you feel about these guys, but this is the era of the Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith approach to sports journalism, which is you shout and you scream and you make points whether you believe in them or not, and you see how many people retweet it, and you see how many people watch the video on Instagram, and you Google yourself, and maybe you get an endorsement out of it, and people love you, and they hashtag you. Like, that was so not what he was in any possible way, shape, or form. And he was – the number one word I think about with him, I swear to God, I'm not – is dignified. He's just dignified. I remember being in the office – 22 years old, 23 years old, and there's this guy, and he was just better than everybody else there. You know, he just was. He was just better. He was so good and so talented and so nuanced in what he did. And he said on my podcast, yeah, I never thought of myself as a great writer. Well, I did. I thought what he did was spectacular. I thought he was one of the best columnists in the country. I still do. So he doesn't fit into what's going on now in sports media. He told me he went to the Tennessean offices a couple weeks ago, and you know, it's not where it was anymore, and how it kind of made him sad, but also he just acknowledged it. It's a changing industry and this is what it is, but it's just a bygone era, and he was a golden part of it.
So with that being said, because I agree with you 100%, Jeff, we've lost something in this, right? You have a lot of excitement and energy with how it's done now, but Can we get that missing piece back? Do you think it could ever cycle back in some form, even though it won't be the same form?
I mean, you know, we listen to a lot of podcasts in this house, and podcasting in a lot of ways has replaced the long-form narrative journalism that you used to read. I do feel like it's an audible audio medium, which is different. But I do feel like there's still room for nuance and there's still room for sort of analysis. It's just hard, though. It's just really hard. We're always on our phones, and phones don't really lend themselves to 1,100 words. They lend themselves to 240 words. And I don't know. I wish I had a great answer. I don't know. It makes me sad because I don't feel that confident about it.
So for people that that don't go that far back in this town to remember, you mentioned 1994, and this is, it's interesting. This is a couple years before, Darren, you got to Nashville, but not very long. You were a little bit later in the decade.
I
had just gotten out of school, so
you're
just
leaving Vandy.
I'm just starting in the sports talk business, Jeff, when you're starting. But what was your role back then?
He didn't cover your minor league baseball career?
No, he did not. But I do appreciate his baseball knowledge because I did read his book on the 86 Mets, which is my favorite team. But, Jeff, take me back to what you were doing on a daily basis at the Tennessean during that time.
All right, so I started out in the living section, which is the feature section, and I was the worst ever. I was so bad. I was the worst reporter ever. Anyone who worked with me will tell you, and I was cocky and arrogant and everything bad about some cocky New Yorker coming to Tennessee and the worst. I came to love Nashville, and I got demoted to the cops beat, the late-night cops beat as a punishment. And when I got off the cops beat, they moved me to sports, and I became the high school wrestling beat writer. And I was as dogged about covering Overton and Father Ryan and digging into high school wrestling as anything I've ever been. And I really covered preps. My main thing was preps. And then when I was there, the sports editor at the time was a guy named Neil Scarborough, and he gave me a shot. Peyton Manning was a junior at Tennessee, and he gave me a shot to write like a 2,000-word, which is a very long piece on deep dig into Peyton Manning, and travel to New Orleans. And that really got my career sort of going, and I used that clip and got hired by Sports Illustrated. But I was the lowest man on the totem pole in the sports department, and just learned a freaking ton from doing it.
Did David surprise you with his answer about being on the TSU beat?
Yeah, man, I didn't even know he covered TSU. So when I was there, I think Mo Patton was covering Tennessee State with some Mike Organ, and I had no idea. And which is really interesting. Here's something I loved about David Clymer. I really mean this. I told a story when I was at the Tennessean, and a coworker, an older coworker, used the N-word, and I complained about it to someone else, and they basically told me to shut up. And I talked to David Clymer about it, and he was talking about covering TSU and sort of, number one, how much he learned as a white kid growing up in the South and all of a sudden covering a historically black college, and also how he felt in hindsight he didn't really speak up enough when people would say stuff to him about the beat he was covering. And I just thought, like, sometimes you can just judge someone in the quality of who they are by what they've learned along the way. And it just sounded like his lessons of covering Tennessee State really sort of opened his mind and showed him something he had never seen before. And he used that to, you know, throughout the rest of his career and his life when it came to how he viewed other people. That sounds really impressive.
Yeah. Wisdom. You know, it's really something. Historical perspective. These are all things that when I think of David Clymer, that's what I think about. That's well said.
Yeah. It's funny. I'll tell you one thing. I wrote a story, a really bad story that never ran when I was at the Tennessean. there was a high school athlete, and his last name was Bacon. And I wrote this lead. It was way too long and really dumb and contrived. And it was all about all the things you could do with bacon. And it was like, one can certainly eat bacon, but one can also take bacon and you put it in your tailpipe. One can write, you know, dip it in lead and use it as a pencil, blah, blah, like a million different uses of bacon. And it was so laughably bad. But whenever I would talk to Clymer, whenever he would make a reference to me, he would always mention bacon. He'd always be like, have you had any bacon lately? How's your bacon?
Fantastic. That's fantastic. Jeff, really appreciate the visit. I enjoyed the podcast. I'm glad you put it out there on Sunday, and I found it because, quite honestly, I was tired of the NFC Championship game, and I made better use of my time listening to that interview with David Clymer. So thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Jeff Perlman. His podcast is Two Writers Slinging Yang. He is he's written a lot of books. He's a best-selling author. I think 8-9 books.
Yeah, big subjects.
Garnered tons of attention.
Sports Illustrated for a long time, and then, you know, just among the books. The Bad Guys won, 86 Mets. He wrote one on the the crazy days of the Cowboys and their three titles in 4 years.
Well, boys will be boys. Is that right?
Is that what it's called? Yeah, I think so. He had one on Barry Bonds. He had one on Roger Clemens.
Brett Favre.
Walter Payton. There's one on the USFL. If you are
Showtime Lakers,
the Showtime Lakers. So he's got a lot of stuff. And the thing that sets him apart, besides just being a good writer, is he interviews everybody. He interviews hundreds of people. No stone is left unturned. Like, for example, in the 86 Mets book, very few people might remember this, but in the great Mets Red Sox World Series, a guy flew a parachute in and landed on the field while the game was going on. Just a crazy thing that lasted a couple minutes, and then it was gone, it was over. He went and interviewed the guy. He found the guy. Got the story behind. What were you doing? Why did you decide to land in Shea Stadium during the World Series? So that's the kind of stuff he has in there.
Really appreciate Jeff Perlman for joining us. We will come back and switch gears. We'll talk a little bit about the Predators on the other side. But right now, I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you, Ben, have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is front and center on that quest. The board-certified physician over there, his wife Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse. And their experienced staff want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that like I do, especially as we all get older. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, which is certainly vitally important this time of year, energy levels, always important, cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, dial this number, make the appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.